I'm going to ask my friend Norm Henry if he would to lead us in prayer this morning.
Father, we're grateful. We're really grateful that you have found us and loved us and poured your life into us. And now we're grateful that we can meet you with all of our needs. Lord, I thank you for Dr. Tobin and Dr. Henneke. Will you bless them? Be with Mother Bill and around that this is on this earth, this is the time when it seems like a lot of people get sick and it runs around through lunch. So even those we can't think of right now, would you go and be with them, touch them, strengthen them, give them a sense of comfort and peace, strength, healing. Lord, then we thank you for your word. We're really a privileged people. And we thank you that your word is always alive and fresh and new. And we pray that for Dr. Toby this morning, that you would bring your word through him as you have so many times. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Christmas. I understand it's almost New Year's, but really thank you for Christmas and for the first Christmas that even started this whole story. In the midst of all of that, we love you, Lord. Would you guide us into the new year? Would you help us to live this next year the way that you want us to, so that others can see you in us? Well, we pray this with hope, because we pray in the name of your Son.
Amen. Amen. Well, I wasn't ready to start writing down yet, and so you just have to kind of stumble along with me. Yeah. I almost broke a 20-year New Year's resolution. You got one you kept 20 years? I got one. I made one back in 1997. It was this one: I will make no more New Year's resolutions. I almost stumbled, because I was going to make a resolution that I would seek harder to find the Holy Spirit than I had in the past. And it dawned on me, that's a dumb resolution. Because my problem, that's been my problem. Listen carefully now. It's one thing to seek the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's another thing to have the Holy Spirit possess me. Okay? So you see why I didn't make that resolution. I'm not going to make this. I'm still trying to find how to empty myself of myself. And it dawned on me that part of the biggest problem I have is me. For one thing, I'm too educated. It'll ruin you. Because you can't lay all that aside. It's too much a part of me. And part of the problem I find nowadays is, how do I get away from myself and allow him to possess me? Now, this is not a theology class, is it? This is a Bible class. So, can you agree with me that for the most part of our lives, we are possessed of ourselves? And most of what goes on in our life is to satisfy ourselves. That self we have developed because our forefathers sent it on down to us. Am I correct in saying that we have a corrupted self? We were born with a corrupted self. It was not the self that God wanted us to have in the first place. And so I've spent so much of my time trying to understand something I can't understand. You understand? I'm trying to figure out how to get back as close as I can to the place where God wanted us in the first place. And I find myself doing it myself. And myself can't do it. Myself finds out myself can't do it. Because there's got to be something beyond you and me that can change you and me. And you see how your education can get in the way of that? Let me throw you out a word. Your wives, our wives, yes, irritate us because they have what they call intuition. That's another word for saying they're just smart. I don't know what it is about them, but I've looked back over the years, and you know, for a great part of the life of the church, it's been built around the ladies. You know, when I was a boy growing up, we had what we call prayer and fasting. We had a group of ladies in our church that believed in the prayer part as much as the fasting part. And they would meet on Wednesday mornings at the church, there'd be 15 or 20 of them. And folks, I'm here to tell you they prayed. It wasn't now I lay me down to sleep. They called missionaries by name. Now, the only reason I know this was my mother was the secretary of the church, and sometimes I had to go there with her, and I would hear them. It left an imprint on my life. They prayed for missionaries by name. And then on a Wednesday night, they would stand up to testify, and they would talk about a missionary had sent them a letter, and the letter was talking about an answer to prayer, and the prayer was, and they coordinated it. You know, they sit down and figure out this time lapse thing and all that, and they were thrilled to death about how God would do things rather than them doing the thing. Now you see, that's what's got me tumbling here. I'm concerned that I give credit to God for doing things. But I've got to get me out of the way. And so I've been praying. And then I asked the Lord to help me pray because I'm praying the wrong way. I'm praying that the Lord would help me understand. And I got to get beyond understanding. I got to get to this intuition part. I got to get to this part that doesn't have to rationalize everything that I'm trying to get done. I got to realize I'm not the one to do it. Now you see the struggle I'm having? And any time you start moving in a spiritual journey, I find myself not believing that works will get it done and working just the same. Working as though it's up to me. And so I've come across these statements like emptied himself. I don't understand that. I don't have to understand it. But I have to believe it. And so I'm struggling with understanding and believing. And I'm leaning more now toward believing than I am understanding. And I think that's one of the things that the ladies have that you and I come to struggle with sometimes. They just accept it because it's there. And one of the things I like about the children is that the children don't understand. They don't have to understand. And Jesus said, that's where you need to come to me, like the little children do, with his intuition that just says he loves me. Paul McGrady was an interesting pastor to me. He had a photographic memory, and he loved to go visiting. And if he came to visit your house, he would meet you and all the children. And when Sunday came, if you came to church, he knew every one of you by name. And one day a little guy went home and told his mother and dad how much the preacher loved him. said, "Oh, he really loves me." And they said, did he tell you that?" "No." "Well, how do you know he loves me?" She said. So the little guy just said, "I just know he loves me." And I keep trying to say to myself, "Oh, Master, that's what I'm looking for. That's where I want to be. I want to love you because you love me so much that I know you love me. You don't have to tell me. And I want to find myself in this way so that I don't possess the Holy Spirit, but that the Holy Spirit possesses me." And I went back and I thought about the very beginning of the creation time. That Spirit was already moving over the deep. You don't have to ask Him to come. He'd been here from the beginning. And I wish Adam and Eve would have written some books. I wish they would have told us about this relationship between them and God. Sometimes the intuition doesn't work right. Thank you. Sometimes the intuition doesn't work right. It did not work right for Eve that day. But there was still something inside that let them know that they were not where God wanted them to be. Now, don't look at me strangely when I say to you, you and I have all been through that. When God said to you and to me, "Something's not right." Especially when He did it the first time, when He got you the first time. We used to have an old-fashioned word for that called conviction. We don't talk much about that much anymore, but it was when God's Holy Spirit moved upon you to get you to accept the fact you were not the person you ought to be. Now see, what's bothering me is that's happening to me again. And I'm trying to say to Him, "What's up?" And I'm trying to find this place where Adam and Eve walked in the garden with Him and talked with Him. And He talked with them. And there was something unusual about them. And as I go through the Scriptures and find these different people, you know, where the Holy Spirit moves on them, I thought about Moses. He is out there wandering around the deserts in Midian. And suddenly, he sees a burning bush. And a voice. How long has it been since you've heard the voice? Should have been this morning. And that's a part of this being filled with the Spirit that I'm asking the Lord to help me with. I want to hear Him speak to me more often than I have been listening in the past. Oh, I think He's speaking. I don't think it's His problem. I think it's my problem. I'm not in tune. I don't ask for a burning bush. Of course, I had a burning car one time. So. He has other ways to get to us, but there's something about our spirit being in contact with His Spirit. Yeah. And Moses was a shepherd. Moses was a hunted man. He was on the FBI's most wanted people in the world. And when God said to him, "You got to go back to Egypt," "Whoa, whoa, whoa, that's where they're looking for me." Oh, yeah, but I'm going with you. Something about that spirit that Moses allowed God to control his spirit so that he would walk right back in the midst of all that, knowing full well God was in control. And I look around our world today and I keep saying to myself, but God's in control. These people think they're in control, but they really aren't. They're going to be gone in just a few years. There'll be a new crop out there. Nobody is as great as they think they are. And Moses did what God wanted him to do. And when he got in trouble was when he wasn't listening to the Spirit. You remember those times when Moses would go back to the Lord and say to him, what's the matter with you? What have you done to these people? And the Lord would call him up into a mountain and say, come up here and let's talk. It bothers me for me to say to myself, I wish I had that kind of a mountain experience with God. Because I realize that God's there in the mountains there, where am I? I'm following down through the pages and I find a young man by the name of Jacob. And I've tried to get away from this learning that I had over Jacob and Esau and all that went on. And I got to Bethel. I got to a place where he just finally decided he and God had to work things out. And God had to do the working. And he held on all night till finally the Holy Spirit just knocked him down. Sometimes God has to do something like that to get my attention. I hope you aren't that stubborn. I hope you don't hold out like that. That's a tough fight. It's not easy to apologize to God. Oh, I can do it to make myself feel good, but can I really do it in such a manner that God would say back to me, well, you're just a human. And you need me. And I want to possess you. And then comes the tough part, but you won't let me. What do you mean, I won't let you? You can do anything you want to do. No, no. No, I made you so that you have to make choices. And one of the choices you have to make is that your spirit and mine will become one. Wow. And then there was this young man, Joseph. I grew up with him with a coat of many colors. I followed him, but in these latter years, I've been watching him in the prison. I've been watching him when he would allow God's Spirit to possess him in such magnitude that he could tell the king, I can tell you what the problem is. And I can tell you the solution to the problem. Because God has revealed it to me. The Lord God Jehovah has revealed it to me. And I marvel at the fact the king believed him. But there was something different about Joseph. He had the opportunity to be in the bed with the queen. At least with the chief officer's wife. His humanity was overcome by the Spirit of God, and he fled from that place. And he still got punished for it. But he still believed that God was in control. He had let his spirit and God's spirit be one. And I love it when his brothers came to him and he finally says to him, oh, what you did to me, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I want that kind of a life. And then there was this this man, Isaiah. You remember Isaiah? In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. You know what was happening with Isaiah? Isaiah was facing the same problem you and I are facing. Isaiah had his eye on people. One person in particular, the king. And he had a lot of problems out there that he was trying to solve. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we went to the house of the Lord every Sunday and saw the Lord high and lifted up? Instead of what so-and-so was wearing, or what kind of car they had, or how much money they gave, or what their attitude was. And there was something about Isaiah lost himself into the will of God. And you see, my problem is my education says to me, let's study that and understand it. You can't understand it. It is beyond our comprehension. And I follow on down and I find this man Daniel. You like Daniel? I like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I like Daniel because he would listen to the Lord in the midst of all the obstacles that he had. Listen, he was in a foreign country. But he said, God's in control of our lives. Just let us live out what we have inside of us. And even when they put him in the lion's den, and then when the king asked him about his dream, and he said, I'm not going to tell you the dream, you tell me the dream. And God will reveal it. And the man was so lost in the Spirit of God that God told him what the dream was and told him what the dream meant and gave him the courage to go tell the king what it was all about. And his three brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're out there in the plains of Dura. And they built this big monument out there, you know. The king said, everybody's going to bow and pray to my monument. Not these three guys. I love it when they looked into the fiery furnace. Said, how many did we throw in? We threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in. Three. Well, why are there four in there? Because the Spirit of God walked in them and the fire could not even singe them. The funny thing was, when they brought them out, there were only three of them. Folks, when you're in the midst of the fiery furnace, if your spirit and God's spirit is one, it can't be explained. I love to listen. Well, I don't lie. It's just crazy. But it's interesting to listen to people try to solve that mystery. How could they be in there and not burn? God was with them. You know why I haven't failed at a lot of things that I should have failed at? Because God was with me and showed me what to do. Now what I'm trying to say to you is I'm trying to learn not to learn. I'm trying to comprehend the fullness of God. So, well, you can't do that. I know it. And you know it. But that shouldn't stop us from trying. And so I go on down through here, and after I leave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I go down and I find John. You remember John? John's out there in the wilderness preaching. And Jesus came. It's his cousin, wasn't it? Were they cousins? How you getting along with your cousins? John saw something that I think was very unusual. I don't know who else saw it, but John saw a dove coming down on Jesus. And he said to them, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." You better follow him. Now, John's going to lose his head over all this ministry, you know. But he was so filled with God's Spirit that he could recognize that Jesus was more than a carpenter's son. And I have to admit to you, this Christmas time, I sat around the house without any great big Christmas tree all lit up, but with a manger scene that a lady made for my wife years ago. And I said to myself, you know, we need to get back to hearing the angels sing. We need to get back to what the story is really all about. It's not Santa Claus and tinsels, and we've missed the idea of the gifts. And so I was praying this time about the gift. Jesus said, "I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to pray the Father. And the Father's going to give you another," if you want the fancy word, paraclete. "I'm going to give you another spirit. I'm going to give you the Spirit of truth. And he'll teach you all these things that I've said to you." And so that's where I spent the most of my Christmas this year, trying to ask the Lord, how can I get this mindset in me that was in you? Because we're told, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. I don't think Paul knew what he was talking about. You understand that? Paul was speaking far beyond what he knew, but he was living it. I wish some other people had written some books about Paul, because he was a man in the midst of a turmoil of a world, allowing the Holy Spirit to possess him in such a manner that he would say, "To live is Christ, to die is better." So I'll be with him. you thought about that? I keep saying to myself, now don't rush this thing. It's going to come soon enough. You're going to... How do I allow that Spirit which Christ said, "I will give you"? How can I learn to accept that? And so I catch myself going back, and I'm reading my Bible some more. And I found a lot in there about this. But there's got to be something that these women have that I don't seem to have. And that's this intuition. That's this something that lets me grasp what I don't understand. My wife and I play some games together a lot, in the evening time particularly. And she'll say to me, you know, you see these things that I don't see. You calculate the ways I don't calculate. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, oh, but I wish I had the intuition you have. And so I'm working on this part now of allowing God's Holy Spirit to have control of my spirit. So that my spirit and His spirit is one. And then I get caught up with myself again, and I keep saying to myself, how is that going to be evidenced? Am I going to give more money? Am I going to preach more sermons? Am I going to read more Bible? Am I going to, what? How is this going to be evident? I haven't figured that out yet. And I don't think I'm going to figure it out. So I keep praying and asking the Lord, Lord, teach me how to empty myself. I don't understand what they were saying when they tried to say it. And God emptied Himself and took on Himself the form of a human being. So I don't believe that. Pardon my misunderstanding. But God does not empty Himself of being God, ever. He's always God. But He did something that we don't understand. He walked into His creation as one of His creation. He said, I'm doing this because your nature is the nature of this world. It is a nature that says, take care of the human body and all of its desires. And I want to tell you, you can overcome that. And so I'm going to walk through this with you and show you it can be done. But it cannot be done without God. Amen. If anything else about the life of Christ you want to study, study this. This is God walking this earth to show you and me it can be done. If we can learn how to abandon ourselves and allow God to possess ourselves. And so that's what I'm working at now. That's a bad word. See, I'm working at it again. So, this is where I'm stumbling along, trying to allow the Holy Spirit to possess me so that I will be what God wants me to be. And I don't even know what He wants me to be. I'm too old to be a missionary. Not really. So, but and so I find myself in this great, marvelous maze of saying, but Father, I don't understand. And I can almost hear Him say to me, you don't have to understand, you have to believe. Well, I do believe. No, you don't really. Well, I do believe. But your belief is to satisfy your own curiosity. Oh my. I hate for y'all to hear me do this. See, I do this in the wee hours of the morning and late at night. I'm saying to the Lord, here I am, Lord. I wonder what they used to say when He would say, help my unbelief. Oh. And so now I'm trying to find out how the Lord can take me through this possession period. I don't mind being like my mother and my dad. I don't mind being like my brothers and my sisters. But can I let the world see the beauty of Jesus? living in me. And I keep asking myself now, oh, Father, how can you reveal this in me and to me and me not broadcast it out? See, you ought to be like I am. Oh, that's a terrible place to be, isn't it? And so I'm saying to the Lord day and after day after day, Father, I'm running out of time. I'm getting old. What more must I surrender? What more am I to lay on the altar? What more am I to take in so that I will really grasp for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Now, I'm not asking us to die too quickly here. It's going to come to all of us eventually. All these people who think they're so important, they're going to become dust balls. They'll become worthless. But for the one lost in Christ, he will never be worthless. And that's what I'm asking the Lord. Lord, can you just infuse me with your Spirit so that all these entanglements of this fleshly body and this intellectual mind can get laid aside and you just live through me? You see the problem with that? We've got to let people know. We've got to write a book. We've got to tell the story. No, somewhere along the line, I'm saying to the Lord, I don't want to be lazy, Lord. And I don't want to stop doing things for you. But I want to do them for the kingdom's sake. I want to do them to promote your kingdom, not my kingdom. I want to live it out. Thy will be done in me. So that when I lay myself down at night and say, Lord, this has been a good day, I'll mean by that, I have lost myself more in you than I did yesterday. Do you remember the little statement, pray without ceasing? See, people say that can't be done. Oh yeah, it can be done. There can be something inside of you churning that little bit of butter all the time so that you know inside of you you're in communion with him. And he is in communion with you. That's the prayer chart. So that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, wherever you happen to be at the time, you know your spirit and his spirit is one. Now you see why I'm saying you have to lay aside all this learning that you've got. Because you can't learn this. This has to come by this thing that the word intuition is a good word or not, but there's something that's got to go on inside of me that will put me aside and allow him to have control. And so John was on the Isle of Patmos. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And a voice spoke to me. And I turned around to see who was speaking to me. Wow, what I saw would startle you. Eyes aflame. I said, this is a terrible looking creature. Scared me so bad I just fell dead right before him. And God spoke. And John wrote. Now I'm not starting to write, folks, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm trying to fall as a dead man. Dead to myself. Dead to what this world thinks is all that important. And allow him to possess me. Yes, sir. Rick?
Talking about John. In John 13, he says, I give you a new command. Love each other. You must love each other like I loved you. All people will know that you are my followers if you go to more church services.
Read more Bible.
Or if you give more.
Yeah.
If you love each other.
Yeah.
And so I think you kind of touched on, I think the hint is to be more lost in what other people need and what they're searching for than what I need. And in that way, I think it will flow out of us.
Yeah, I think that when we allow him to possess us, it will show forth without us knowing it. We don't have to get plaques. I got more plaques than I know what to do with. I got more certificates than I know what to do with. I got more degrees than I know what to do with. I got more books than a man ought to have. It doesn't matter. I wish I could say I have more of the Lord than I ought to have. But I keep saying to myself, I don't have enough. I need more. Because if that can come out in me without me having to push a button or have a plaque, but I just do it because the Lord says, do it. It's work, Tom. But it's not work. It's God's work living out through us so that we can say, I love you and really mean it. Really mean it. Yes, sir.
Toby, you've used the word intuition for the women. This is one thing when you started this off, you said you start to try to figure this out, but you know that you're not going to be able to figure it out. Jesus said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I think that that's really what the women have. They don't understand, but they have faith that God, when he said whatever he said, is going to do what he said.
Yeah.
It's more than intuition. It is an absolute faith that brings that to pass.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to go back to the very beginning, too. You're talking about Adam and Eve. You know, Adam and Eve knew what was good. The only thing that they got when they ate of that fruit was the knowledge of evil. They already knew what was good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think to myself I'm not an educated man. I just read the Bible and take it at face value. I don't know any other way to do it. But I have found in my walk with God that there comes a point when I cannot say I have the ability to understand what I'm reading. But I know that when God has said it, he means exactly what he said in there. And that is the exercise of faith. That's the exercise of faith. And I believe that what maybe we lack is that aspect.
Yeah, faith or prayer, faith or belief and prayer are wonderful bedfellows. Yeah. I remember my granny Williams. She wasn't big as a stovepipe. Never had much education in her life, never owned a home, never owned an automobile, never owned a TV, never owned a telephone. But that lady could pray. And she prayed crazy. She'd just get out there and say, now Lord, you see this field is dry, we need rain. If we don't have rain, we're not gonna have any crops. And that'd be all right, except we just need rain. It rained. I guess the time I really saw her when it bothered me was when the crops didn't come in. You know what she'd say? The Lord knows what he's doing. You know what I'd say? I sure wish he'd let us know. I want that kind of belief that says, I believe God can control my life if I just get out of the way. And that's why I said to you, I haven't been able to write all this down yet. I'm not going to write a book. I'm trying to ask the Lord to write on my heart things that will help me live so that the beauty of Jesus can be seen, whether I know it or not. Father, teach us how to love you better. Teach us how to serve you more sincerely. Teach us how to empty ourselves and allow you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. We're not asking for a theological lesson or a Bible study. We're asking for your presence to be such in our lives that we will submit our spirit to the control of your spirit. Bless these men as they go today. Let your beauty be seen in them even when they don't know it. Somebody's life will be changed because they ran across some of us. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you. Amen.